The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Hey, there is a lot going on in the coming months, and I wanted to tell you about some important deadlines and some events. First of all, I'm going to be lecturing at Kent State University in Kent, Ohio on October 27th. So all of my Ohio friends and fans, come see me. You can find out more about it on my website. There are also a bunch of other events for November, which are like on the verge of being confirmed. So just have the heads up in November that I could be in Pennsylvania, DC, and New York City. And just check the tour page of puckerup.com if you want to come see me in one of those places. Also, there's a great event happening next year, CatalystCon East, which happens in the Washington, D.C. area, March 27th to 29th, 2015. But right now, they are accepting submissions for presentations. The call is open. The deadline is November 4th, and you can go to catalystcon.com to find out more. And Pornotopia is having its 2014 film festival in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is the Southwest's only ethical porn film festival, and they have fought hard to make this happen. It is November 14th to the 16th. It's produced by Self Serve Toys, and you can go to selfservetoys.com to find out more. And finally, I want to wish a very happy birthday to two of my friends who have birthdays coming up, Cindy Darnell and Danny Wild. Happy birthday to the both of you. Great sex-positive people. Let me tell you about today's guest. Award-winning writer, educator, and storyteller S. Bear Bergman is the author or editor of 6 books, as well as the founder and publisher of Flamingo Rampant, a children's press focused on feminist, LGBTQ-positive, racially diverse children's books. His most recent book, Blood, Marriage, Wine, and Glitter, made several 10 Best of 2014 lists and was a finalist for the Lambda Literary Award. A much-loved speaker and storyteller at universities and festivals alike, Bergman's signature blend of wit and warmth brings all the people to the yard, regardless of their sex designation, gender identity, or gender expression, which he would like to remind you are not all the same thing. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Bear.
Thanks very much. I'm really excited to be on the show.
I was just saying beforehand that I was convinced you had been on the show because I feel like I've had this conversation with you somehow in my dreams, but it's kind of amazing that you haven't, but you're here now.
I am indeed. Good. I think it's because we've, you know, done various other kinds of collaboration and conversations together.
Right. So it's like in my head, we've done this already. Okay. Well, we're going to do it now. And it's going to be right. I'm going to be present in the moment. I promise.
I can't wait.
So as I said in your intro, Flamingo Rampant is the children's press you founded, which is focused on feminist, LGBTQ positive, racially diverse children's books. Tell me how this whole thing came about.
I mean, the real answer is that, well, it was a two-stage process. So the first thing that happened is I get a call from one of the gender conferences that happens out on the West Coast that focuses on kids who are trans-identified or gender-independent and their families. And they wrote to me in 2007 or 8 and said, listen, we would like to have some trans-positive stories to read these little trans-identified and gender-independent kids during the weekend, but there aren't any at all. Do you think perhaps you could write some for us? And, you know, it was December and the conference was in June, and you know how writers are, sort of like actors when it comes time to audition. Can you ride a horse? Sure, I can ride a horse, which means by the time you need me to be able to ride a horse, I'll be able to ride one. And similarly, when somebody said, hey, could you write a children's story? I said, absolutely, I can write a children's story, figuring, well, by June, I'll figure it out. And I did, and I wrote two different stories, actually, one called The Adventures of Tulip, Birthday Wish Fairy, and the other one called Backwards Day. And I took them out to the conference and read them to the kids, who really liked them, and the parents really liked them, and they started saying, when can we buy these at books, as books? And I said, well, I'll let you know. You know, and I have good relationships with multiple publishers. I had at that time as well, because I, you know, publish books for grown-ups. I can't say adult books. That means something else.
Right.
And so I sent them these manuscripts and said, hey, what do you think about these lovely, trans-positive children's books? And all of the publishers said more or less the same thing, which is, these are charming, and it's too small a market for us. One publisher said, how many trans 9-year-olds could there possibly be? Which really felt to me like missing the point. Because, of course, they're not just for trans kids, right? They're for any kid. And any kid who has a trans or gender-independent person in their family, anyone.
And I would say anyone, period, right? If you had a trans kid in your classroom, it seems to me a teacher would want this book, right? So it's like trans kids and everyone in their orbit, which is a lot of people.
Well, or anyone who might eventually grow up and possibly encounter a trans person in their world, a.k.a. pretty much every kid.
Yes.
Right? And these are storybooks, right? They're not, you know, let me explain transsexual people or transgender people to you in kid language. They're books that are about things that kids do. You know, one of them I like to refer to as a wish fairy procedural, you know, and the other one is about a space. And there's also trans themes, but the idea, the whole point of these books, the first two, is that they could be interesting to any kid. And, you know, if that's a kid who is trans or gender independent or has trans or genderqueer people in their life, then it's sort of validating in the same way that, you know, when kids see a family like theirs or a kid like theirs in a book, they feel real in the world, because it's one of the things that children's books do for kids. And if they have no previous information or contact with anyone who's trans or genderqueer, then it's normalizing, like a kid from Wichita who reads a book about the ocean. Just because they haven't seen it yet doesn't mean they can't be introduced to the idea. It's a lovely thing. It exists out there in the world, and you'll get to see it someday. So we did these first two books. I did a Kickstarter. We raised $18,000-$19,000 for it. I wrote the first two books myself. They were illustrated by amazing illustrators, Katie Diamond and Susie Malik, and people loved them and went nuts for them and were still selling lots. And it was great. And so I thought, surely, since I have these great sales numbers and all of this other stuff, when I go back to these publishers and start trying to talk to them about doing more LGBT-focused and trans-focused books, they'll be into it, right?
Right. One would assume, yes.
Not exactly. Or if so, then only in a very limited way. You know, the editors, even the loveliest ones, are mostly have very little sort of trans knowledge. And so they want books that are, quote, realistic, close quote. And that means bullying, right? All of the books that feature gender bending or gender independent kids are, you know, basically a how-to manual for how to bully a kid who's different. So, you know, my husband, Jay Wallace, is an educator, and he works for the Gender-Based Violence Prevention Unit of the Toronto School Board, and he does a ton of work teaching teachers how to teach about gender, not just trans issues, but, you know, how to be gender positive generally, how to create a classroom atmosphere where kids are comfortable playing with whatever they want to play with and wearing whatever they want to wear, regardless of what other people think about their gender. And so he ordered a bunch of books, as he tends to do, that people had recommended, saying, oh, this is a book that has a gender theme. And a whole box of them arrived, and I settled in with my 4.5-year-old, who loves to be read to read him some of the new books, because, you know, the arrival of new books, very exciting when you're four. We started reading through them, and they were all about bullying. They were all just hard and kind of miserable, where these kids would display, or, you know, mice or penguins or whatever, would display some gender-independent characteristic, and all the other kids would be horrible to them about it. And, you know, we got through a few of these, and by the fourth one, he just looked at me and said, I don't want this anymore. I don't want any more bully stories.
Mm.
And I had this moment of just thinking, oh my God, what are we sending our kids to bed with? You know, I settle in to read to my kid before bed, like I think probably a lot of parents do, especially with their little kids. And so I started thinking about all of these, you know, queer family stories and trans family stories that we have. And so many of them are about bullying. So many of them are these heavily kind of different narrative focused books. They're mostly not joyous or celebratory or full of travel or adventures or delights. They're full of, we're different, and it's okay, but we're different.
Right. I mean, it almost reminds me of like this idea that you can teach queer kids that they exist only by giving them like hate crime statistics.
Yep.
Right? It's like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just a big, huge downer.
And I think that's kind of where a lot of this education has gotten stuck. And part of why it's gotten stuck there is because it's mostly filtered through straight gatekeepers. And it's not that I don't think those people are doing their best. It's just that I don't think they have any useful idea of what it's actually like, what the big picture is when you're a queer kid and all of the, you know, YA novels available to you are about, you know, gay kids getting beat up, gay kids getting killed, gay kids falling in love and then being repudiated, on and on and on. And so I knew that I had this base of people from the first Kickstarter who were really interested in trans narratives in kids' books. And I had been talking a lot with my husband, Jay, and about what, you know, what happens in children's books. Like, what do they contain? And I saw three things that were really concerning. One, 70% of the protagonists in children's books are boys. Only 30% of the main characters are girls and women. Two, 93% of the protagonists are white. Only 7% account for all other people of color. And third, over 98% of children's books are about straight families. Very few queer families or gay or lesbian families, and just a very small handful, a couple, three or four every year, feature a trans kid or a gender-independent kid. And I just thought, I am pretty sure that there are a bunch of other parents who would also really like to have some books that would celebrate the families that are actually in my community, you know, that would feature racially, you know, across the group. So we're doing a series of six books. We're doing it like a box set, right? And half or more, it's our commitment, are going to be girls and women as the main characters. And half or more are going to feature kids and families of color. And all of them are going to feature lesbian or gay or bi or trans or queer or two-spirit main characters.
That's incredible. Okay, I've got to interrupt you for a moment.
The situation is just too sad to continue to avoid. And so we just kind of saddled up to say, okay, I'm pretty sure we can do better. And I'm lucky, right? I have a good, you know, I have good community trust. People are willing to gamble $99 that I will produce books that they can feel good about reading to their children. I have an amazing community of fellow artists who were all very excited when I said things to them like, so, have you ever thought about writing a children's book? And so we're underway. We're going to have six books this year, and we're hoping to continue releasing a group of six books every year.
Okay, we're going to take a break. That's a lot of information. And it's all good, 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 good. But we've got to pay the bills and keep the lights on, as it were. I mean, that's not exactly what we do, but you know. And hear from our great sponsors, including Good Vibrations. Go to goodvibes.com. Use coupon code Tristan. You can get 15% off anything, anytime. Stay with us. I want to hear more about this project, more about Bear's family, and his new book. So stay tuned.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today I'm talking with the illustrious author and publisher, S. Bear Bergman. Bear, you were explaining before the break about this amazing publishing project that you've started, Flamingo Rampant. And it seems to me that like so many fundamentalists and conservatives and anti-queer folks, their favorite thing to do is cry, "The children! What about the children?" So it's kind of like you've jumped right into the belly of the beast here by making books for children. Have you experienced like any kind of backlash from the right about this?
Some. I don't think we're quite big enough to have experienced much backlash yet. There are a couple of bloggers who really don't like us. A couple of people have left very unpleasant comments on our Facebook page. But that's about as far as it's gotten. I mean, you know, the conservatives know as well as I do, children's attitudes predict adult attitudes. You know, if you can teach kids that it's fine to be lesbian or gay or bi or trans, then that's mostly what they continue to believe as adults. And if you teach them that it's horrible and disastrous and that everyone's definitely going to hell immediately right after lunch, then that's, you know, often the belief that persists into adulthood.
And are you concerned that these books are going to kind of fall into the hands of people who are already teaching their kids progressive values, but like they're not going to slip into the hands of people who might really need this alternative perspective?
I have some concern about that. We're doing two things about that. One is we're marketing to libraries and schools quite a bit. Hoping that teachers will, you know, use the books in their classes and that librarians will use them during read aloud time. And we're also, during the Kickstarter, we offered a buy one, give one away option so that, individuals could, you know, buy a set of books for their own family and also buy another set of books for a school or a library or another institution. And we just generally give a lot of books away. When schools and libraries write to us and say, I would really love to stock your books, but the budget people won't approve it, we pretty much just send them books. Any kind of cultural product is a self-selecting audience, right? You put out your books or your videos or your movie or your podcast or whatever, and some people are into it, and some people avoid it like the plague. The thing about kids' books, though, is that, you know, there are a lot of opportunities for them to cross the paths of children in ways that their parents may or may not know about. They're in the library, they're at school, they might be at the house of a more progressive family member or family friend. We definitely hear from adults who say, I have a little friend who's 5 or 6 or 7 who's pretty gender independent, and their parents are very against it, so they come over here to have a little bit of a break from that disapproval, and I'm ordering your books so we can read them together at my house. Or librarians who say, I'm ordering these books so that they're available for kids who need them.
Yeah. That's really, you know, that's really, really important. And this brings me to, we solicited a bunch of questions from listeners, and we got this one from Katie on Twitter, who says, it's so inspiring to make media about ourselves. How can a fledgling artist or author get involved in Flamingo Rampant? So that raises the question, are you going to write all the rest of the books?
No, I'm definitely not writing all the rest of the books. Oh God, it makes me tired just to think about it. I wrote one of the 2014 season, which is 6 books, and I'm hoping to write one or none in any of the future seasons. And to Katie and anyone else who's listening who might be interested, I would say we are always interested in talking to authors. We are always interested in talking to illustrators. We do pay money, not, you know, an enormous amount, but definitely more than a token. You can always send an email to info@flamingorampant.com. Let us know what you're up to. And we're very happy to hear from anybody who's interested in participating in a future season. And I also want to say we are specifically recruiting artists and writers who are Black, Indigenous, and people of color. And we are always specifically recruiting trans-identified artists and illustrators as well.
That's great. You know, a question I had for you is, what if I'm an adult who does have like kids in my life? Because I'm an aunt to two kids, and then I'm sort of, you know, a god aunt to a lot of kids. What if I want to get the book for someone and I feel like the parents might wig out on me? Like, how do I have the conversation with the parents to kind of calm them down so that I can get this book into their hands?
Well, I would say two things, maybe three things, at least two things. Okay. And the first one is, if a parent is super against the idea that anyone could ever say in front of their child that it's fine and perfectly lovely to be lesbian or gay or bi or trans or queer or straight or whatever, you know, those parents are going to be a bit of a hard sell. But for parents who just haven't maybe thought about it or who don't have a really strong ideological opposition to, you know, justice and equality for LGBT people, these are sort of quite the right books. You know, they are not, how do I want to say this? They are not difference narratives. There, for example, you know, there's a book about a kid who can't sleep because she's really excited because her new baby sibling is about to be born, right? And so what happens? Her two gay uncles who are staying with her while her heterosexual parents are at the hospital giving birth to the new human, you know, sit with her and tell her family stories through the objects that are woven and attached to one of their dreadlocks, right? So there's queer content. There's these two gay uncles who are sort of very loving and sweet with her. But it's also a story about how exciting it can be to get a new sibling and what you do when you can't sleep and how, you know, extended family being present for each other is a really valuable thing, especially, you know, now when a lot of us don't necessarily live next to our biological family. Mm-hmm. So there's that piece. There's also the piece that I sometimes wonder whether we overthink a little bit how much other parents might be against, you know, LGBTQ issues in children's books, or we just get concerned that somebody might complain, and so we don't even try. My experience is that teachers, for example, read LGBTQ-themed books to their class, and they have some trepidation sometimes. They're nervous that some parent is going to call and complain, but that happens very rarely. Typically, things are just fine. Everybody sort of reads the book, and it's, oh, yes, you know, gay penguins, lovely. That's, and Tango Makes Three, which is, you know, an ongoing favorite in our house because there's not a lot of two dad books.
Or two penguin books.
Or right. Two penguin books. Well, that's the other thing, though, right, is that a lot of publishers that do queer-themed books kind of give themselves a little distance from it by making the characters not human but animal or alien or monster or pirate or whatever. I guess pirates are human,
I guess pirates are human. Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
But some fantastical element that doesn't ground it in reality.
Right. But it also, you know, penguins don't necessarily give kids the opportunity to really see themselves in the books in the same way.
Well, we are going to take another break and hear from our great sponsors. And we're going to transition a little, as it were. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few more grown-up things that Bear is up to, because Bear is kind of all over the map when it comes to this creative stuff. So stay with us. More with S. Bear Bergman when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
SportSheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, SportSheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from SportSheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today with author, publisher, and storyteller S. Bear Bergman. Bear, I want to transition from our discussion of kids and kids' books and talk about the state of the trans union. As it were. I mean, we've got in the past year, we've seen really incredible visibility. Laverne Cox, Janet Mock, the Amazon show, Transparent, the cover of Time magazine. Mm-hmm. And so from your perspective, are we having a trans asterisk moment? Have we reached the tipping point?
I don't even know what the tipping point would look like. That's such an interesting question, though. I mean, and I'm of two minds about it, right? And the first mind that I have about it is sometimes I find it really exhausting when people get all excited, like, oh, here we are, we're making progress about trans stuff, because it completely erases the fact that until, you know, Christianized colonialism swept across the world, basically every single indigenous society had language and social roles for people that we would now consider trans or genderqueer, and everything was basically fine. And then, you know, the sort of agents of white Christianity as practiced in a particularly horrible way, rolled across the world and and eradicated it, often by killing people or threatening communities that if they didn't make their trans or gender queer members outcast, then, you know, there would be further killings or brutality. So what it feels like to me is actually that the natural order is reasserting itself. Does that make sense?
That's interesting.
That there's always been, you know, in the great long history of humanity, that trans and genderqueer people have A, always existed, B, always had places to be in society, C, always had language. And, you know, we have this sort of historical myopia, right? We're a bit short-sighted culturally, especially in North America. And so we think like 200 years ago was a really long time. But in fact, if you go back not even so long as that, 600 years, less in some places, you're, you know, up to here in trans people and artistic representations and legal discussion and all kinds of stuff about people that we would code as trans or genderqueer or, you know, gender nonconforming in some way. So I feel like in a lot of ways, really what's happening is things are getting right again, slowly. But which isn't to say that I'm not super excited about Laverne Cox and about Janet Mock and about all of the people who are working very hard to make it happen. You know, everyone from Dr. Courtney Ziegler at TransHack, who's got a big project teaching trans people how to code, all the way, you know, across the country to the folks at Lambda Legal Defense, who are busy litigating up and down the country, you know, making it possible for people to get their documents changed and keep their jobs and all kinds of other stuff. Like, an enormous amount is happening. And I think the media representation is sometimes catching up to that, and sometimes not. But, you know, I think overall it's really always positive when trans people are represented in the media in a neutral to positive way. Like, you know, the ongoing stories about someone was deceptive or someone is pretending are really dangerous. But the, you know, the Laverne Coxes and the Janet Mocks of the world and Monica Roberts and Keke Milan and a lot of other people who've really been taking up space in the media recently as pundits or as the subjects of stories are fantastic. And I think that part is really wonderful. And it creates a backlash too, right? For every time Laverne Cox goes on television and teaches Katie Couric a lesson and then another one, there's some yelly guy in Kentucky saying that he's going to convince all of the women he knows to get concealed carry permits for guns so that if they're, quote, stalked, unquote, by a, quote, sexual predator, right, in the women's washroom, by which he means trans women using the women's washroom for, you know, extremely worrisome things like peeing and, I don't know, maybe washing their hands. Right, this is his idea that, you know, he's going to make sure that his women have a gun in case that happens, right? So the news is definitely mixed in that way.
As it has been for a long time for, right, for those of us on the margins.
Sure.
In your latest book, Blood, Marriage, Wine, and Glitter, you explore all sorts of notions about family, belonging, and spirituality. And in reviews, lots of folks want to call yours a radical family. Do you think it's radical?
I mean, I don't really understand what is radical about it, but I, you know, I'm inside it, right? Do I radically pack my kid a lunch? No. Do I radically have an argument with him about bedtime? No. Do I radically hire a babysitter so that my husband and I can go out and see a show? No. But at the same time, you know, so in some ways, we're like all families that have children. There's a lot to do and not quite enough time. We're all sort of doing our best and trying to love each other as much as we can. I think the thing that people find radical, by which I assume they just mean unusual, or that it made them think about something longer or differently than they had before, is that our family unit, our family constellation, includes a more and perhaps a different variety of people than the kind of family that we have been taught to think of as traditional. But I'll tell you, have you heard the quote, "It takes a village to raise a child"?
Yes, of course.
So, you know, it's been really popularized recently. But it turns out, and I was reading about this just recently, of course I can't remember where, but it turns out that's not actually the saying. The saying actually is, it takes a village to raise a villager.
Huh.
And I find that such an interesting distinction. Because, of course, it doesn't take a village to raise a child. There are plenty of people who are raising children in a, you know, fairly small kind of nuclear family setting where the people that are in charge of that kid are, you know, their heterosexual parents and, you know, maybe the occasional babysitter. But it's not a village situation at all. But those children are being raised, right? Doesn't really take a village. But when I think about it as it takes a village to raise a villager, you know, one of the things that maybe is radical about the kind of raising that our child is getting is that he's being enculturated in a, you know, in the idea that family can be sort of sprawling and sometimes non-traditional and doesn't have to be just the people you are related to by blood or marriage, and that, you know, the person who takes you to do the things that you enjoy might not necessarily be someone who has any legal responsibility for you, but is just someone who also happens to enjoy reptiles or demolition derby or Broadway musicals, as my child enjoys all of those things.
Okay, we got to take another break. That was a really good answer, and really fascinating. I mean, I think that's part of the thing that's so appealing about this book is that from the outside, I'm talking to all my listeners, like it may seem like Bear's family looks different than yours, but then on the inside, there's some universal moments and truths that I feel like ring true for a lot of people. I mean, it's not, there's something about the way in which you write about family that makes people feel included in it, I think.
I mean, that's my hope. My teacher, Peggy Shaw, from Split Britches Theater Company, who I worked with as a university student, used to say to me, just be specific. Just tell your exact, specific emotional truth, and everyone will be able to identify with it in some way. Don't be all, we think this, we think that. Just tell people how you feel. And it turns out, as with so many things, she was really right.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take another break. Coming up next is the Ask Tristan segment. Bear's going to stick around and answer a listener question. And if it's your question, you're going to win a prize from Sportsheets, makers of fantastic bondage and sexual positioning products. So stay with us. There is a prize opportunity coming up, people. Don't go anywhere.
stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We have been talking about all things trans, radical, and reptile with Esper Bergman today. And before I get to your questions, you know, one of the things that I read about that you said somewhere was that by far you experience the most hostility from heteronormative gay men and lesbians. That's who gives you kind of like the hardest time about how you live your life and how you raise your kid and how you construct your family. So why do you think that is? That it's not these sort of hyper straight nuclear families, but it's actual other gay, lesbian, bi people who find you so threatening?
I mean, I tend to assume that it's because the straight people are like, well, you're trans. All right, what, we don't know anything about that. You say you're a dude, fine, you're a dude. Like, they have no investment in it in terms of community, and they have no sense of that it's their job to decide if that's true or not, or whether we're doing, you know, trans correctly or not. They're just sort of like, okay, if you say so, fair enough. You know, in exactly the same way that I am at the auto mechanic. The guy's like, oh, we need to change your, you know, graphilator. I'm like, all right, fair enough. You know, I wouldn't know it if it bit me on the nose. You're the expert. You say we need to change it. I pick the garage that I trust. Change it. Here's all my money. You know, whereas people who are lesbian or gay identified, especially if they're really, you know, gender conforming, gender normative, sometimes they get really threatened by the idea of trans people, and particularly queer trans people. Like, what do you mean you're transsexual and a homosexual at the same time? Well, and yet, here I am. And I get a lot about, you know, you're giving us a bad name, you're too queer, you have to stop talking about sex, you have to stop talking about kids, you have to stop talking about family, you have to stop talking about this and that. But that's an old problem. I mean, you know, Stonewall happened in 1969, and it was trans women and sex workers and drag performers who were on the front lines of that. And 2 years later, at the, you know, Gay Activist Alliance meetings, they wouldn't let Sylvia Rivera, who was on the front lines at Stonewall, talk into the microphone. They tried to pull her off the stage because they thought she was too queer, too funny looking, too whatever, to be an appropriately respectable voice for the lesbian and gay community. So I assume that, you know, we're still just kind of having the same thing.
We're having the same fight over and over. It feels like that to me, too. Okay, we're getting to Ask Tristan now, when a lucky listener wins a prize from Sportsheets. This question comes to me by email from F, just the initial F. And this person says, "Hi, I'm a 26-year-old trans woman. I was wondering if you have any suggestions for where I can go online or meet other sexually open people. As of now, I've been using Craigslist because of its simplicity, but I feel like I'm really at the bottom of the barrel of places to search." And other people have said the same thing. "I know that there are sites focused on trans people, but it feels a little uncomfortable because of the chasing aspect of potential suitors. What advice can you give me?"
Well, I don't use dating sites particularly, but I hear from trans friends that OkCupid is often a more trans-friendly site than many of the others, that they're, you know, people are often have a lot more flexibility, or that the site rather has a lot more flexibility about gender and sexual orientation than some of the others. I also know a couple of people who've recently been having dates on Tinder. Do you know about this, Tinder?
Oh yeah, yeah. The kid, all the kids, Tinder,
all the kids
Whisper,
are on Tinder.
Yeah.
Which, when I first learned about Tinder, it was described to me as like Grindr, but for straight people. But that apparently isn't quite true, because Grindr is pretty much, you know, just a hookup site for most people, I think, for most gay men. And
I know
Tinder,
a ton of lesbians and dykes who use Tinder. Yeah, so it's
really
not just straight people. Yeah.
Huh. Shows what I know.
Yeah.
So I know a couple of trans people who've been having lovely experiences on Tinder. So maybe that's something that F could also try.
And I would add, you know, seeing if there is a support group or some kind of activist group or educational group in your area, because, you know, nothing beats real time. Real time is real, right?
True story. Events that might be happening at any university campuses that might be near you, often they are free. Often they are accessible in many ways. If you can get on their email list or whatever, nobody cares if you're not a student. People from, you know, outside the university are often invited. And, you know, sometimes there's a really good mix of people. If there are trans-specific educational events, you might want to go check them out.
That's a really good recommendation, too. Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Bear.
I had a fantastic time. This was great.
I'm going to remind you that S. Bear Bergman is a writer, educator, and storyteller. His latest book is Blood, Marriage, Wine, and Glitter. And he runs the fantastic publishing company Flamingo Rampant. So you can find out more at S, the letter S, like Sam, BearBergman.com and FlamingoRampant.com. Follow him on Facebook and Twitter at S. Bear Bergman. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. And you can always find me on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and Kevin on the board today, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of this show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You also can and should subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show, and hopefully just as scintillating conversation as we had today. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook, facebook.com/AskTristan, until we all, I'm going to deactivate. I'm on board, people. I have to do it. On Twitter, at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life, take some time to talk about sex and read to your kids out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.